Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 20th of March. Are we quick to overestimate ourselves? Are we quick to believe ourselves exceptional? Of course, each person is special, each person is unique and original. But if we no longer think of ourselves as originals, but as people above others, if we think we are the best people, then we are crossing a threshold. King Solomon tells us in one of his Proverbs what the consequences are. We read in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." It is on this proverb that we are going to focus today. A crash landing guaranteed. The Titanic is an example of human pride. She was the largest ship of her time and had safety equipment hailed as a miracle of technology. One magazine raved about the Titanic being virtually unsinkable. However, during its maiden voyage to America on Sunday, April the 14th, 1912, at 11:40 p.m., the ship collided with an iceberg which tore its hull along a huge length. It sank in 2 hours and 40 minutes. Damning results. Of the more than 2,200 people on board, 1,514 were killed. Due to the apparent unsinkability of the ship, there was apparently a lack of prudence in sailing at too high a speed in a potentially dangerous place. They were sure that this ship would overcome any obstacle. We could still look at countless stories that show us where arrogance and pride can lead. As we read, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride begins where man thinks he is dominating something that, deep down, is not in his power at all. He imagines he has strengths and abilities that are not available. Basically, these people attribute to themselves abilities that are in fact only in the hands of God. We can see this very clearly in the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who lived between 640 and 562 BC. At the height of his power, he stood on the roof of his palace, which towered over Babylon, and said to himself, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. It is the highest form of pride. Me, 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 and again me. I did everything. I have the power. I want to be revered. I am God. This is a phenomenon that we observe regularly. Successful people who become powerful and wealthy often lose ground. Suddenly they imagine that they can afford anything. They think they succeed because they are incredibly gifted. They imperceptibly begin to look down on others and delight in people looking up to them. But those who look down on others and bask in people's admiration forget to look up. They no longer realize that someone is above them. This is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and the crash landing followed immediately, as he himself recounts. We read in Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. "Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you." In this case, God intervened immediately. It was the same much later for Herod Agrippa, who, seated on the throne, delivered a speech before the people of Israel. The people acclaimed him enthusiastically. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Herod revelled in these acclamations of adoration, and God, our God, intervened immediately, as Luke records. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. Perhaps you now think that it would be wonderful if everything always happened so quickly. If God would so quickly eliminate all men who are proud and pretentious, who look down on others, or at least rebuke them, humanity would already have been spared many terrible experiences. The world would thus have been spared many painful developments. Just think of World War II. If God had snatched Hitler from life as soon as he appointed the Aryan race to rule over all other races and made himself be worshipped as a god, our world would be different today. We can then wonder if what Solomon says in Proverbs does not apply to all proud and pretentious men. Asaph despaired of seeing proud and arrogant people happily enjoying their lives while getting richer and richer. He nearly gave up his faith in the God of Israel. He complains to God of his despair, as we read in Psalm chapter 73 and verse 9. Their mouths lay claim to heaven and their tongues take possession of the earth. Psalm 73 verse 12. This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Asaph wonders why God is obviously not intervening here. He cannot understand and cannot find an explanation. He is frustrated that ungodly and proud people are doing so well, and he who lives in the fear of God sees no positive effect of his piety. He is complaining. He goes on in Psalm chapter 73 verse 13, "Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All my efforts to lead a life pleasing to God are in vain. Obviously the world belongs to ungodly blasphemers, proud and arrogant people. They are happy and getting richer and richer. Of course we see here and there proud people failing, but not all of them, far from it. And even when they have failed, they often remain rich or become rich again." When Asaph had these dark thoughts, his view of life was limited to this visible world. He had lost sight of eternity because life on this earth is only a very small part of our life. God always has an overview of life. Fortunately, Asaph rediscovered this reality when he stopped staring at the proud, their happiness and their wealth, but stepped back and looked beyond this world. He tells it like this. We read in Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny." When he reflected and understood how God sees life, he suddenly understood that these people will one day have to justify their way of life before God. It is at this point, at the latest, that the unholy man will suffer a violent crash landing. Everything that was important to him will completely crash. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors? Psalm 73, verse 19. And Asaph rediscovers where true happiness lies. He concludes his psalm with this joyous exclamation in verse 28. "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Any man who wants to be his own master, anyone who thinks they can do without God, is guaranteed to crash. One or the other will already experience crash landings in this life. Christians too can experience crash landings for different reasons. But the real crash landing, the one that destroys everything, comes at the very end. Christians will be spared this final landing. The unique flight. As Christians, we might now point the finger at other people and say this is typical of those who don't follow Jesus. According to the motto, "Others are proud and arrogant, not us. We are Christians." Thus our world remains intact and we feel safe and better than all other men. Yet this attitude could justly be an expression of pride. For fear of becoming proud, we could give in to the temptation to be particularly modest and humble. But this could lead to a pride that expresses itself in an apparent modesty. In Paul we discover surprisingly self-assured statements in different situations of his life. For example, he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." At first glance, this does not really show great modesty. The temptation is great to describe Paul as a proud and well-educated man. But Paul was not. He just told it like it was. It is proven that he worked more than the others. If I say what I can do and what I do, it has nothing to do with pride. If someone sings well, he shouldn't say he's a bad singer. If you are good and useful in something, you can say it and assume it because it has absolutely nothing to do with pride. As long as I remain aware that all abilities and talents are given to me, it has nothing to do with pride. This is why Paul says again, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. The fact that Paul was able to work so much, he does not see it as due to himself, but he knows that he could only do it by the grace of God. Of course, he still had to be ready to do it. I see gratitude as the real key that prevents us from becoming proud and pretentious. The person who is grateful is always aware that he is a receiver of something beyond himself. He doesn't always have to say, I can't do it, and I'm not good enough for it. He can, like Paul, assume his achievements and his talents. He doesn't always have to downplay everything, as this is often embarrassing and really well received. The important thing is to know that we have received everything. Paul once said of our material possessions, which I think we can also apply to our abilities and talents, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. How quickly we are proud of something we have simply received. We are proud to be born here or there. But if we come from such and such a region, most of the time, it's because our parents were already there, with some exceptions. I have nothing against the fact that we are grateful to locate our origin, but to imagine that we are better for it is simply absurd. Indeed, a poet said, the poet Georges Brassens, it's no commonplace, the one where we were born. They are wholeheartedly sorry for the misfortunate youngsters, the clumsy young people who didn't have the foresight, the presence of mind to be born in their hometown. If we were able to study, that's great. But one received the necessary abilities, whether it was because one was raised in a family that encouraged you, that perhaps had the financial means to help you. But we should above all distinguish ourselves by an attitude of gratitude and not by pride and denigration of the other. And whoever does not want to experience a crash landing, but a unique flight, should orient his life entirely towards God, because ultimately all abilities and talents come from him, whether one is a Christian or not, because he is the creator of all life. Paul, who had a sound self-awareness, says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. People who put their trust in God and who receive everything from his hand with gratitude will experience a unique flight. The plane ticket for this unique flight has a name, Jesus Christ. He promises, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. John chapter 5, verse 24. Those who do not rely on their own strength and abilities, but who follow Jesus and rely on God, will experience a unique flight, guaranteed not to be followed by a crash landing. Here is a final thought. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. You have certainly noticed that in life, in oneself and in others, pride and true gratitude are not so easy to distinguish. Even when you first hear an expression of gratitude from someone's mouth, their speech may be motivated by pride. You have already read this prayer of gratitude a priori from a Pharisee. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. And make it clear to us Once again, at the end, I would like to refer you once again to Paul. He writes to the Corinthians that he does not want to take money from them, although he has the right to do so. All work deserves wages. His reason is, but I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. He therefore wanted his performance to be recognized, but then said, for when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Here we see the field of tension in which we move. To conclude, I would like to give you a word taken from Proverbs to help you rediscover the meaning of reality. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honour. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Amen.